You know I've raved about outer before, and I love my outer sofa, outdoor dining table, and chairs. I've had them for over a year, and let me tell you, they've been through everything, from rainstorms to scorching sun, and still look brand new.
That's because outer makes outdoor furniture that's actually designed for the outdoors. From using incredibly durable and sustainable materials to developing innovative solutions like the outer shell cover, which protects my sofa and dining table against dust, debris, and dirt. No more soggy cushions or dusty tabletops. My outer setup is always clean, dry, and ready to be enjoyed anytime I want.
Head to liveouter.com/thefounderhour to see Outer's range of outdoor furniture, fire pits, and accessories. The Founder Hour listeners get an exclusive 10% off for a limited time. Terms and conditions apply.
So elevate your outdoor space with Outer. That's liveouter.com/thefounderhour.
Hey everyone, before we get into the episode, just a quick reminder, if you enjoy what you hear, please follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. That way you get notified when new episodes drop. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, at The Founder Hour. Let's get into it.
Ashley Tisdale, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Super excited to chat with you and talk all about your life, your career, and everything you're up to now with Frenchie and motherhood. So I guess to start, I think I read that your career started super early. You met your manager in a mall when you were like 3 years old or something.
Yes.
So I don't expect you to remember, but I guess what is a story that you've been told about
how that happened? I don't remember.
I literally know people that take their kids to the mall, or did when malls were like more busy, just to hopefully get, you know, some sort of manager or someone
that
to like
is
find
so
them.
Funny.
So it happened to you. So it works. It's like a thing.
I guess so. Like, I think it was just one of those moments where he was looking, he was like, put like some pop-up in the mall of trying to find like talent. And my mom still today goes to the mall shopping. And so she was just, you know, I was in New Jersey and I was in my stroller and he thought I was really cute and he thought she was going to go in line. And she was like, no, not for us. Like, she didn't want me. I don't think she really wanted me in the business or like, you know, she just was like, no, it's okay. Like, I'm fine. But he had given his card and he was like, if you, you know, really obviously want to think about it, just let me know. Mm-hmm. And my grandma had suffered a loss and it was really to get my grandma out of the house. My grandma was staying with my family. And so my mom was like, you know what? I just got this card from this guy. He said there's like a commercial or something. Do you want to bring Ashley into the city? And my mom, my grandma was like, yeah, I'll go with you. And so the first commercial was JCPenney and I got a call back and then I booked it. And then I booked 7 commercials in a row. Wow. And my parents were like, I guess she's meant to do this. Like, yeah. This is pretty wild. So.
And do you remember like what it was you were doing? Like,
I remember bits like of the commercial. I remember being scared of a dog in the JCPenney commercial. So I have that memory and I obviously have seen it. And I'm like, oh, I remember shooting that part. But I don't know. Like, I just seen so many of the commercials at that
point. I almost
said
RIP JCPenney, but then I realized they're still around.
I know. I know.
I don't think they'll be around in 5 years.
I know.
That's my prediction.
So sad. I think so.
I love their stuff, actually. It was cool. It's cheap.
Yeah.
Now you go to Macy's and then
I think
then,
malls are going to be a thing of the past.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I feel like they're going to come back.
Really?
Yeah. They're going to come back.
Just different.
I think they're going
to
be different.
For sure has to be different.
Yeah, it's going
to
be different. But the one thing, and I know this was, we'd go off of segues like this all the time. But what I've learned or what I've read is that a lot of the, what's the generation after us? Like, we're millennials.
Oh, Gen Z and then Alpha.
Yeah, Gen Z and Alpha.
Yeah,
they're more used to instant gratification than even the millennial generation is, because I know you're a millennial. I think you're a millennial, right?
Yeah.
And so they want that product right there and then. And so Amazon is not fast enough for them. So they'd rather go touch, feel it, and then return it if they need to.
Interesting.
So we'll see. I don't know if
we'll
that's
going
to happen. What was the biggest thing, I guess, biggest commercial that you had that really like maybe made you or your family or your parents want to have you be like in that industry?
I think it wasn't one specific thing. It was just the fact that it came so easily. And then I know my mom was like, you know, you never listened to us and you had a lot of energy. And on set, you listen to the director. And so she was like, I think this is good for her.
It was like daycare.
It was like, yeah, she was like, whatever was going to get your energy out. Yeah. And so, and my dad was just, you know, obviously supportive, but very much like, she still has to go to school. She still has to have a normal life. And I just was like in the driver's seat, to be honest. I remember like seeing a Broadway show when I was younger, and I had a friend in Les Miserables, and I saw the show and it like inspired me. And I was like seven, maybe seven and a half. And I turned to my mom and I was like, I've got to do this show. And so I called my manager and was like, I've got to do this show. And he was like, have you sang before? And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, I can get you an audition. Cause he was like, I've got to get this girl an audition. I was like booking so many commercials at that point. I took some lessons and I ended up getting the international tour of Les Miserables. I think that was a big moment for my family.
What made you so good?
At what? Just
what you were doing at the time.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I think I was just meant to be in it. Like, I honestly think that when you're meant to be a performer or like, I don't know. Like, I see it with my daughter too. You know, my daughter is three and she has always loved music and she sings nonstop and she's obsessed with Taylor Swift and she sits there and has like her little guitar and like my husband's a musician. So she's definitely like into music, but there's something about her that I see the performer in her. I'm not ever going to put her in the business when she's older. If she wants to like,
it's her choice,
you know, be a musician or whatever she can. I'll like obviously support her talents, but it's like you just see something where you're like, oh my God, this girl loves to sing for people and loves to like perform for like our family. And I think that maybe I just had that where I just listened really well. I listened to direction and I don't know. Like I just was.
It just came easy. It
came easy. Like Les Miserables, I obviously didn't know what I was getting myself into. Right. Like when I thought about it, I remember kind of being nervous, being like, oh my God, I just booked this show. And I was like, do you wear headphones and like sing to the headphones? And they're like, no. And I was like, what am I getting myself into? Right. And I don't think I was the best singer out there. I know for a fact I was not the best singer out there. But I think I acted. I remember the director being like, she is amazing as Cosette. Like I got it right in the room. They're like, pack your bag. She's going on tour. And so I remember that I was doing the extra work. Like I would have to meet with the conductor every single week and I would go over and like warm up. And so they really trained me. I was eight.
Eight.
But I did it for a year and a half and I loved every second of it. And my dad and my sister were like, obviously meet us in every single city. but it was, to me, it was like so much fun.
Yeah.
I know we'll talk later on. You do end up, you know, having your own like music albums and all that. And an observation I've had, for some reason, it seems like that era of like Disney Channel actresses and actors, a lot of them had this like multi-talent where they were really good actors, but also really good musicians, or, you know, they had that both those things going for them.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, why do you think that is? Was there like some sort of connection there?
I don't know why for others. I know why for us, we were in a musical, so it made sense that we were all singers.
Yeah.
I think that, like, because the musical that, you know, that high school musical that I was in, we had our audition process was the same as a Broadway show. We had to do the scenes, we had to sing, and we had to dance, and you were getting cut throughout the day. So that's like so typical of like auditioning for a Broadway show. It was very different and high stakes. I think that, I don't know, like, I think they're just either fine talent that are like really like, I don't know, like maybe you just, I maybe they just look for people who can sing as well, but, or they learn along the way, but it's just like for us, obviously being in a musical, we all knew.
So everyone who auditioned had a little bit of a musical background.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Like everybody who was a part of that movie came from either doing musicals when they were younger and, you know, so that was like all in us.
But before even High School Musical, you were on Suite Life of Zack and Cody, which I was definitely obsessed with. I loved that show. I don't know how old that was, but I definitely made
I'm embarrassed to say I have not seen either one.
Oh my God.
Really?
I haven't seen.
Don't be embarrassed.
You are missing out. You are missing out. I have seen all of the episodes of Suite Life and probably watched High School Musical way too many times. Didn't I? I don't know about High School Musical 2, though. Was there two?
Yes, there was three.
Okay. I have not watched two or three, but one I can say I have watched more than two or three times. How old were you when Suite Life of Zack and Cody started.
I was 18. I looked really young though. I was like 18, yeah, yeah. But everybody looked 15.
Super young on that show. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was that experience like just even going into it?
I was excited. I mean, at first I was a little bit like, I had auditioned for Disney for years and never got the role. And I think I just kind of like got down and was just like, what am I doing? Like, yeah. I was booking like TV shows, like pilots for networks. And like my first pilot I ever booked was for Chuck Lorre for Fox. And he's an amazing creator. Yep. And I love comedy, and it was all comedies. I would book a pilot each season. So each year I was getting a pilot. It just wasn't getting picked up. And so that was bumming me out. And I hadn't auditioned for Disney for years because of how I was always like one of the last people, and I was never chosen to. It was always like I would be up against the Disney girl that was on right. a TV show, and she would get it. And I was like, well, what am I doing here? And so when Suite Life came around, I was just like, oh no, like, I don't think so. Like, it's Disney. And I did have like my own kind of like thoughts about being like typecasted as a Disney girl. And I was worried about that
right.
because even at that age, I was doing NBC and Fox.
Even at that age, you had that like mindset of like,
I did. Like, yes. I always thought of my future. And right. I was just like, man, I don't want to get stuck. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, let's weigh out my options. I'm like, I keep doing pilots and they're not right. getting picked up. Like, you're one of 30 pilots each year. Not anymore. It's totally changed. Yeah. But at that time, and with Disney, you're one of two. So you have like a 50-50 shot.
Pretty good.
So I was like, you know what? What's the truth? The truth is I love to work. I just want to be on set. I had right. graduated high school. I had more time on my hands. I kind of was like, I'm someone who loves to be busy. And I was just like, okay, like, I guess I'll just audition for this. And
were you set on being a performer and actress? Like, that was what you were going to do?
Yeah, my whole life. There
was no other like option.
Was like college in the plans after you graduated high school or not really?
Not really. I basically, my whole life, I was like, always chose acting over like cheerleading in school, or, you know, I went to regular school. I worked in clothing stores up until I was on a TV show. I did the stuff that my dad wanted me to do. But
and actually, this was still in New Jersey, or at the time you were in LA?
No, this is in California. I moved to California when I was 10
okay.
because I started doing TV work out here.
Gotcha.
And my dad and sister were moving as soon as she graduated high school because she went to Cal State Northridge.
Gotcha.
A lot of
Matador fans on this. Yeah. A lot of Matador listeners. We did not go to some.
That's so funny. But I basically, yeah, I always knew. I was like, okay, I could do cheerleading, but like, what is that going to get for me
right.
later in life? And I was like, a lot of joy. But I was like, I could do this, you know, maybe volleyball, but like, what am I going to do after that? Like, I wasn't a sports person, and I just always thought like ahead, and I was always like, acting is my number one. It was always my number one. So there was never a choice. Like my dad, even my sister, she took herself out of the business for a while. She wanted to just go to school, and like they were so supportive over that.
Yeah.
Probably my dad would be happier, but I was like, nope, this is it. This is what I want to do. And so I always just knew I was meant to be here. I definitely, when I came to California, I'm like, this is where I'm meant to be. And I knew what I was meant to do.
Right.
And then when I graduated high school and having that space and time of like not really like just waiting for my like next audition, I didn't like that feeling. Yeah. So college did come up at that point where I was like, maybe I go to college because if I'm not going to be on a TV show, like, you know, what do I do? But then Suite Life came in that moment.
I want to kind of talk about that period of your life of before Suite Life. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing all these pilots. You're kind of coming of that age where you have to decide, like, what am I going to do next? I'm sure your friends are going to college and you're like, do I do this? Do I do that? And it could be like a pretty dark place to be, I feel like, especially in this industry.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's so many people who have been in the industry, have been in that position. But from your kind of experience, what can you tell us about your mindset? And maybe like, did you feel like, you know, you just had to catch a break? Or was there, like, what were you... Was there anything that you were doing to try to like get closer to that?
I felt like I was giving myself the time and space because it was really hard doing three pilots while doing schoolwork while also working in clothing stores. Like, it was just a lot on my plate. And so I had made, you know, I was like, told my parents, I'm like, please give me the space to just be able to like focus on acting. Mm-hmm. And then when I focused on it and I was like, nothing was happening, I was like, okay, let's find another plan. Because I just, at that point, I was also really frustrated. I was like, you know, not getting the roles that I wanted to get. I just was frustrated with work. You know, at that point, I've been in business since I was three, and I'm like, I'm 18 years old. I'm like, so I remember telling my manager, I think I was quitting. I was like, I'm going to quit. And he was like, what? And I'm like, it's time. And he's like, you're only 18 years old.
And this is like, the same mall manager.
Same manager at the time. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I was with him for so long. And I was like, it's just, you know, it's not happening. I can't get the work that I want. I want to be on a TV show so bad. It's not happening. And that's when literally the Suite Life came.
Yeah. You know, I always think like, you know, sometimes you see actors that are in their like 60s and 70s. And, you know, they've probably done a few things here and there, but they really catch a break when they're like, you know, and
yeah,
it just really depends on what the thing is, right? Like if they're looking for someone who is a certain age or looks a certain way, right? Like sometimes a child actor can do really well. And then we've seen, you know, when
it's
they get older,
it's hard to go through the phases. It's hard to be a child actor and then go into like an adult, you know, like it is really.
Is there an example of that person that's gone just through it all and has been successful almost every step of the way?
I mean, I don't know.
Like nobody that comes to mind. Like how old was Leo when he started?
He was young.
Yeah, he was young. Yeah.
So maybe Leo.
Sure. Yeah.
So
yeah.
One in
that's there, a there's million. A few. Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a few out there.
But not
I mean,
as common.
It's just like.
Because people get attached to that character of them. And then it's really hard to see them
it's
in a different
character. It's definitely hard to see them in a different character.
So timing is important.
I think so.
So you're saying
I think
how
so,
I
but also I think it's really too like on your priorities. I think like a lot of people get lost with themselves and end up turning to some other things, and then it's just like that kind of happens. So there's just a lot that.
How
can
did
happen.
You avoid that? How did you avoid going down like maybe a darker path?
I never have done a drug in my life.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably part of it. I have never smoked or anything. I've literally you know drink alcohol, but like. I'm not like a huge, I've always said that when I was younger, I like didn't even drink when I was younger. It's like, I'll have wine here and there, but I just was like, I think for me, I was a grandma from a very early age. I just worked a lot and I have a really great family and support system. I think also there's a difference when you are like, there's a lot of pressure for kids that are suddenly like the people who are like making the money in the family and the family's living off them. And that's really, really hard. And I know a lot of people in my life, I've known friends that have been in that situation and the dynamics change, the roles change. The father is no longer like the dad. And, you know, it's like, well, when your kid is paying for everything, it's like, you know, so I think because I was never in that situation, my dad has way too much pride and he's really successful at what he does. He was always like, it was his rules in the house, you know, like I wasn't like the rule maker.
Yeah.
And so I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. So for people maybe listening that, you know, want to or aspire to be in that industry, maybe they're younger and want to be an actress or actor or be in Hollywood. What can you tell us about something maybe that people don't know from your experience that
it's hard work. Yeah. I think people just like you say with like shopping at this point, it's like instant gratification. And we live in a world that of social media where it's like successful YouTubers and TikTokers. Yeah. They, you know, like I love this Chick-fil-A girl that just is like famous on TikTok right now. And I'm like, she was just literally like serving Chick-fil-A. Literally. And like, how awesome is it that she like, it's cool that we have this, but at the same time, doing something like acting, you have to know it's just really hard. It's hard work.
Well, I think also the con or you know the downside of the instant gratification is there's no long-term, like, you know, whether it's loyalty from fans or long-term money, right? Like it's a very in that moment.
Yeah.
There's yet to be, David Dobrik is somebody that comes to mind, but I mean, there's a big fallout there too. But there hasn't been that many social media, quote-unquote, influencers that have been able to stand the test of time and become like, oh, okay, this wasn't just a momentary type person.
Yeah, right? Well, you have to, I think, decide what you want it for. Are you being an actor because of fame or are you being an actor because you just like want to work? Right. Like for me, fame was never like that was what I was yearning for. You know, like I've been on set since I was three. I loved creating families on set. I loved working with people. I love working. It's just so much fun. And so for me, like, the fact that I had fame, it was, you know, it kind of like took me like, I was just like, whoa, this is a lot, you know? And it's like, I have anxiety. It's overwhelming. And obviously you want to be successful because it gets you your next job in some way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like to me, being a working actor is just like what I love. You know, it's not about like, oh, I have to be the most successful thing in this thing. It's like, it's being long term, you know? Right. And
would you say most actors are of the same kind of mindset or?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think.
So what happens? Like you're doing Suite Life. Obviously that show ends up becoming very successful. Does the fame, like you said, got to you, I guess, in a sense, the anxiety and whatnot, but how much did that change your life? That show?
Oh, I mean, the show didn't change it. Obviously, like, it's funny because I always say this about Disney. It's like the first thing that you're known for, they know you as your character. Mm-hmm. The second thing, then they know you as that you're an actor because they're kids, you know? So like Suite Life came out and people would recognize me in the mall and they'd be like, Maddie, you know?
Yeah.
But when High School Musical came out, that was like a whole different thing. And that's when they were like, Ashley. And like, it was just a level of success. I mean, the whole thing was like, you know, no one was prepared for it. No one in the movie was prepared for it.
What was your name on High School Musical?
Sharpay.
Sharpay, that's right. How could I forget? I mean, that was also Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is this a concept that they had come up with or who had come up with the concept of High School Musical?
No. I mean, I think it was the producers and the creator. And I think Disney was not even like really into it at first because they didn't know how a musical would do on their channel.
Interesting.
And so that's also why they didn't really, normally like the Disney machine would obviously like put a lot into the promos leading up to this kind of massive hit that they know they're going to have. Like Hannah Montana, they knew was going to be a massive hit. Lizzie McGuire, they knew.
Mm-hmm.
High School Musical, they didn't have any idea because it was just so different for them. They're like, well, I don't know if our kids like musicals and we've never done this before. And so we really didn't like have a lot for pre-promos. It wasn't until the snowball effect happened, which was High School Musical premiered. It premiered again the second night. It had even more followers and then, or the more audience. And then the third night, it was like, I think had crazy amounts of people watching. And they were like, and so they were surprised and shocked. Like everyone was shocked. And then we were on like the Billboard charts. Like everybody's like, what is happening? Like it was something that no one expected, which I think is really blissful and beautiful.
Totally.
Because it wasn't like you're part of like Twilight where you knew this book was amazing. You know, it wasn't. Yeah. It was literally because of the people watching us that made us like who
we are.
What year
was this? What did it release? God,
you're asking me this. This is so long ago.
Well, how old were you around that time?
What?
How old were you around that time?
I was 19 in the first movie.
Okay.
And then
there was multiple ones.
So it was like a year after Suite Life essentially started.
It was the summer. Yeah. Basically, I did Suite Life the first season and the hiatus I did High School Musical.
So call it early 2000s. That's what I'm aiming
for. Let's call
it. So this is like pre-social media. Really?
Yes,
like,
yes.
Like,
definitely post pre-social MySpace, media.
But like, pre-Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff.
I think Facebook and MySpace were like coming out.
Okay. Yeah. And like just the fame that it was able to achieve that quickly. I mean, just goes to show like to your point.
Well, everyone was glued to their TVs at the time.
There was nothing else to do.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was also like college parties we would hear. Like they would do like college screenings. Right. So it was definitely wild. And like I am so grateful because I think, you know, like I said, it's just one of those things where everybody who watched it made it successful. And
when you're, like, I don't know much about film and TV. I mean, maybe I know more than I think, but talk to us about the audition process. Did you audition for the role of Sharpay or did you audition for another role or how does that work?
I auditioned for Suite Life. I auditioned for Maddie and London for both of them. And I was testing for both of them. And I think they like gave me a choice. Like who did I want to do? And I was like, oh, definitely Maddie. Cause she was down to earth.
And London is now married to, I don't know. I can't remember. Really.
Yes. Yeah. Macaulay Culkin. Yeah. Yeah.
Brenda's song?
Yeah.
And then, High School Musical is just that character. And they didn't even want me for it. Like I, you know, basically, wasn't in the audition process. I remember they were screen testing. So I was like, wait, I have always auditioned for movies and the Disney chick gets it. Why am I not even auditioning? And they're like, well, we really know who we want. And I was just like, you have got to get me an audition. And so they gave me they had me meet with Kenny Ortega. I sang the song Popular by Wicked and did the scenes and they were screen testing, I think the next day. And he was like, she has to be at the screen test. So I was really late in the game. Like everybody had like a package for 2 weeks and trying to, you know, like obviously get ready. But I didn't. I had a night and it was really hard. It was the song from Hairspray, You Can't Stop the Beat. That was the screen test mm-hmm. song that we were singing. And it's a pretty fast song. And I was just like, I remember saying to my mom, you know, I might not dance very well and I might not be the best singer, but I can act really well. And I'm going to act like the best singer and best dancer. And yeah. I think that's like what Sharpay was. Like Sharpay, I don't know if she was amazing at what she did, but she definitely thought she was. Yeah. And that was like yeah. this confidence I embodied, I think, that day. Yeah.
Did everyone have a lot of fun on set? Or was it like as soon as like you cut, everyone's like in their
rooms? No, no. I mean, we're all kids like having the best time of our lives. You know, like we were, I think that's what made it so successful was because you could see on screen we were having so much fun. Like we were all
That's why I'm asking, because it's like on screen it seems like everyone's having the best time of their life. When you see
that's
these Disney
literally
Channel
what it was
productions.
In real life. It's like we were having the best time. And then the second movie we felt like we were in college because we like ditched our parents. We're like, you can't come to set with us. We're like, we are doing this on our own now. And we literally were in that lava springs and learned how to do our own laundry and stuff and like living out our college years in some way. And then the third movie was the same. Like we all, like it was probably the best project to work on mm-hmm. for sure.
What, how involved were you at the time on the business side of your career?
I've always been involved on the business side.
Even like, as I'm saying like 18, 19 years old.
Well, I mean, what do you mean?
Are you the one with reviewing contracts? Are you the one meeting with the agents? I don't know how it really works, but like, are you negotiating your contracts basically?
I'm not negotiating No. So the manager, I mean, I had my manager and my agents, but like obviously like you walk through everything together.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely was always involved in every aspect.
Did you enjoy that part of it or not really?
Not really, because it's like it can be hard sometimes, you know? Like people are brutal. Yeah. I think I remember them negotiating the third movie and I just felt like, what? Like, and I was like, this is like, I don't know. I just remember being like, this is, I think it got so like kind of like tough with negotiations with everybody that I remember them saying something like, well, we don't need Sharpay in this movie. And I was like, but that's like part of the negotiation process. Yeah, and I'm like, I take it personally. I'm like, that is so mean. You know, like that
you could
is
just say
so,
she got kicked out of college.
How could you do that to her? And I was just like, but you learn to toughen up. You learn it's just a part of the process. Right. It's not like real. Right. And they would never do that. But it was just like, you kind of have to have a thick skin for that part of it. That's why you let other people deal with
it. Sure. Yeah, for sure.
So you're riding the success of these movies. At some point, did you feel like you wanted to get out of that kind of world of like Disney? And how did you get out of it?
I didn't feel like I needed to run away from it. That's for sure. Like I think some people felt like they needed to do that, but
but more so like having more mature roles and not.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, well, what's my next project? And you know, I think that it was definitely tough as the years went on because I try to figure out like, why can't people see me past Sharpay sometimes? And I think about like Sarah Jessica Parker and Carrie, like you just love her in that role and you love that show.
Yeah.
So it's hard sometimes. And I think that might have been like Sharpay was such a big character, like larger than life character. Yeah. I mean, she up until a couple years ago was still being talked about as the victim of the movie. Like people were still talking about her. So I think it's just like, you know, with every project I got, it was me fighting for it. Like it was never easier for me to get a job. It was always like, prove to us that you're not Sharpay, and like, you know.
Yeah.
And
so, but what do you do at that point?
You're up for the challenge. You just do it. You know? I was like, okay, whatever I got to do to convince everybody that's a character and not me.
Right.
So I just basically would, you know, obviously like probably people in my position would have said, no, they have to like either hire me or not. But I was like, let's get down and dirty. Let's just screen test. Let's call back. Like I was never one to shy away from the challenge.
Yeah. Did you ever experiment with like method acting?
I did when I was younger. I went to a method acting class, but I wasn't like a method actor. Yeah. However, the thing about method acting, it became such like a big thing talked about a couple
buzzword.
Years ago.
Yeah.
But it's like there's so many different versions of acting. And when you're younger and you're taking so many different classes, like it all kind of like whatever it takes just for you to acting. Get into a role, just do it. You know, like I have no judgment on whoever needs to figure out how to get into the role to where we believe them and you're forgetting that you're watching a movie. You know,
What's your process of, and I know I'm sure it's different for every film or TV show, but what's your process of getting into character on a daily basis? I mean, you wake up as, you know, Ashley Tisdale, and then you have to go into this
non-Ashley Tisdale thing.
I like, love that we're talking about acting. I'm like, I haven't acted in 3 years. Yeah, yeah. trust me, we'll
connect the dots. But how does that, like, it's like, what's that show Severance on Apple TV? Like, where you have, like, two different, like, brains.
You have your,
like,
work self. Yeah.
And your not work self. But
I think it's just, like, I don't know. Like, I think that, I mean, all I can say is that when you're on set and you're, like, in character, like, it for me, it really starts with the clothing. Like, yeah. When I think of a character, I'm, like, really get into, okay, what's my wardrobe? Like, how does that character look? How does the character, like, what's the background of the character? Like, I really get into that. But I also do a lot of comedies, which is, like, it's not like doesn't take yeah. It's not like a drum like dramatic role, you know, heavy. It's like, yeah. It's less, yeah, it's like more just kind of finding the character and then having fun and, you know, making people laugh. I mean, it's not easy comedy. Yeah. It's definitely hard, but I think that when you just know it, you just like it just yeah. I don't know, it just happens. It's right. Just like, I don't know what that process is. It's just when I'm in front of somebody, I'm actually more comfortable as a character versus myself in an audition. That's the difference. It's when you're more comfortable as yourself that you might not be like a great actor. Maybe, I don't know.
Right.
I think that's what it is. Like, I'm not comfortable being on screen if I'm not a character.
It's almost like you're wearing like a mask and you can like do whatever you want and be whoever you want to be in that character.
And it's creative and it's fun.
And it's creative. Yeah. And you're like almost like maybe even building that character as you go. Like it's not like this fully built out character.
It's not. And it's always like, you know, you're always finding the character as you go along for sure.
Yeah. So at some point you did music and released a couple albums. What was that experience like? Did you really enjoy almost being like in a sort of in this, you know, adjacent industry, but different industry?
Yeah, I mean, I, when I was younger, had to make the decision whether I wanted to pursue music with the Broadway stuff that I was doing or go into acting and movies and TV. And I made the decision to do movies and TV. So to be able to do a musical where it's like a movie, obviously, and you're singing, obviously that experience gave me the opportunity of doing music, which I always have loved. I loved it. I was like, I think the first person to step out of, like, I didn't do the Disney records. I did Warner Brothers records because I really wanted to be taken seriously. Not that people on Disney were not taken seriously, but it was just, I wanted to just, I guess, do stuff differently. I've always been someone who likes to do different things, and I felt like they would be less, they'd give me more freedom creatively, which they did. And I loved it. I thought it was so great. I thought, you know, we did like a huge tour where we were celebrating what everybody was doing in High School Musical. So we all got to perform our music and, you know, do stadium shows. And that was like amazing. But yeah, I was like a pop star. I remember like getting like the number one music video on TRL. And I was like, what?
TRL, like, this is wow, so good times.
Crazy. Carson I know. Daly. It's like so cool.
And so like you felt like at Disney Records, they would tell you like, okay, you can't dress like this, or you have to be like this, or
there's
you can't say this
definitely
curse word,
limitations. Yeah. And I was older, you know, like I was the oldest on the channel, like just so everybody knows.
22.
I mean yes, because everybody was like 15 and 14. Right. So I remember the president of Disney Channel being like, when Suite Life came out, he's like, you know, you're the oldest on the channel. And I was like, interesting. And I thought literally that was it, like that was gonna be my job and I was not gonna book anything else and for Disney, because they were like, well, she's 19, you know, like, she's pretty old.
Try saying that now, president of Disney Channel.
I know, right? For real. So yeah, I think it was just like at that time I was like in my 20s, so I wanted to like experience like, you know, my sexuality and like obviously be able to have the freedom to sing certain lyrics and stuff. And so yeah, I definitely had so much fun doing it.
So what happened? Did you like just stop at some point, or
I did the album Headstrong. I did Guilty Pleasure. I took a year off of acting, focused only on the record. I felt like the label at that point, I think there was two things. I think I was missing acting, like as I took off a year. And B, I felt that it's hard when you have such an amazing experience. You're like, where do I go from there? Like when you are performing at Staples Center and then you're in South America performing for 80,000 people a night, where do you go from there? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, okay, I could keep doing that and try to do that personally, but is that really what I want to do the rest of my life? It's tough. You know, like touring for me was it's a part of it. And it was hard. Like, I'm used to being in obviously a location for 3 months or 4 months doing a movie, you know. I'm not used to the, okay, now let's get onto the tour bus and leave the next day for the next city. It's like, it was just a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I truly was wanting that for my life.
Like the lifestyle.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, this is what it's, this is a part of it. So you either have to like be in love with this, or I was like, I really miss being on like a TV show where you're like, I was in Vancouver for like 8 months. Like, I was like, this is my vibe. This is my vibe of like, living, you know.
You know, I'm curious. We had interviewed, one of our first interviews actually was with Khalees. I think it was episode number 9, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere around there. And she was obviously a singer turned chef, very different. And one of the things that she said was that when she was musician singer, that she would do it for herself. Like, it was really more selfish. Like, I just write the lyrics. It's all for me, but obviously release it to the world. But when she cooks, that it's for other people, and she's trying to help please other people.
Yeah.
How would you define your singing or your music and acting career? Was it something that you did for yourself, or was it something you wanted to put out? Like, how would you define like kind of the reason why, the purpose?
The purpose for me was entertaining people, because I remember like when 9/11 happened, I was like, I just remember watching TV and seeing it all over each network, and you couldn't get away from it. And it was just depressing and sad. And it was just like, oh my God, like the only thing that was not playing those, like, you know, just the news was, is Disney Channel. And I was like, oh my God, this takes you out of something that you're going through. And I remember the reason why I love to do comedy is to make people laugh, is to just take them out of what they are going through in their life and have a good time for like, you know, 30 minutes. And, you know, just, I think what's what Friends does for all of us still today is makes us feel like comforted. And I think that is really what has always been the driver for me. Music, obviously, I still would entertain. I think I just felt, I don't know, like with comedy, like I've always chosen comedy. Like, I could do drama. I know I can do drama. But I always chose comedy because I was like, I want to make people laugh. Right. I want to make people feel good.
Yeah.
And I want them to like forget whatever serious is going on in their life.
Yeah.
So the music lifestyle, you decide, this is not for me. I like music. I like making music.
It's like, I love making music. Yeah. I love writing music. I love recording music. Yeah. I love singing. But it was just like the touring aspect was difficult.
Which you almost, at the time especially, and it seems like even more so today, like have to do to like make it what it should be,
make money
for sure.
Make money.
Like, I mean, it's a part of the whole process, you know. So it's like, it is something that it's like
they're saying Justin Timberlake's new tour is going to be like the biggest one he's ever had.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
so but it's like, not going to be bigger than Taylor's.
Not well, I don't, that's a tough one.
No one's going to be bigger than Taylor's.
No one's going to,
I'm not
that.
Sure that
except for Beyonce
bigger.
Maybe Beyonce.
Maybe Beyonce.
So the lifestyle, you decide this is not what I want. How do you get back into acting, or do you get back?
Well, it wasn't always like when I made decisions, it wasn't like, okay, done. Mm. I kind of like have always been in the flow of the universe. Mm-hmm. So when opportunities would come, I would take them in consideration and be like, okay, where are we going now? Mm-hmm. I've always been that. It's always been like the flow.
And you still had the manager for the acting.
I still had the manager. Yeah. And I was just like, you know, I think the like Hellcat show for CW had come up, and I was just like, interesting, that could be cool. And so it's like, it's always been like, whatever's meant to be, I go with.
Right.
And it's not like I make a hard, like, I'm not doing this, now let me see what happens. Right. Like, I just have, I think I've just always been like very intuitive, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so Hellcats came up, and I was just like, this looks really fun. I love the project. I love the character. And that was when I kind of was just like, I think I need to get back into acting. And I ended up booking the part. And then it was just kind of like me and my record label had like a sit down being like, where do you want to go? I was like, I'm really happy with what I'm doing right now.
And actually during this time, I mean, one of the main reasons obviously you're on our podcast is because you became an entrepreneur. But during this time while you're acting, singing, were there ever any ideas, business ideas in your head, or was it just, I'm acting, I'm singing, I'm writing music. Like, that's where I want to be.
for me, well, I had a production company. So that was my next thing. Yeah. I was just like, when I was doing High School Musical 2, I was, I think, 23. And I was like, I want a production company. Mm-hmm. And so I formed Blondie Girl Productions.
And what does that mean? Like, what does a production company do?
They produce TV shows, movies. And for me, I wanted to be a part of the process from that aspect of the business.
Got it. Was there someone that you looked at that did that, that you're like, oh, I could do that too? Or did you just want to be on that side?
No, it was like pretty early. I don't even think Reese Witherspoon had her production company at the time. I just wanted to have a female production company that created female content. And so I had met with my partner at the time, Jessica, who's amazing. And we had formed Blondie Girl Productions. And I had, you know, basically I would have deals with different studios. Mm-hmm. And so that for me was like my first kind of business thing where I was like stepping into a different, like, you know, behind the scenes. And for me, I never wanted to produce purely for me. It was to produce without me in it. Yeah. I was like down to obviously do a guest star here and there on anything that I was doing. But I was like, I really want this to be established as, you know, production company, not for me, basically. And so I did that. And that was really fun. It was hard, you know, like you create so many different shows with different writers. And we started in reality. So we had a show on Bravo at the time. And then we went into Scripted and we had a show on ABC Family called Young and Hungry for a couple years, which was really successful.
Did you enjoy that one, that part, as much as acting and singing?
I did. It wasn't like I was like, this is what I want to do with my life. I was like, this is really fun. I loved being on the other side because it really shows a different perspective on like just acting. Like I realized you can't take anything personal in this business because you could be the best actor in the room. It still might not be meant for you. So I really enjoyed it, but I wasn't like
this is like my end all be all.
It wasn't like I'm transitioning my career to producing.
Yeah.
And that's when I shut down the production company. It was like after years of doing it, I was just like, okay, I really wanted to focus in. I started doing a lot of brand deals. I started doing kind of, you know, like I had ideas of taking over a makeup line I had, and I wanted to feel more quality versus quantity in my life. And I just felt like I was really spread too thin because I would, like I said, if I was producing something, I'd be like really focused on the pre-production. Then I ended up doing a show for TBS called Clipped. And so then I was now acting.
Yeah.
And it was hard to like balance both,
and,
you know?
And like working that hard, it's really hard to, you know, focus on other things. And did you feel like you wanted to have a family someday and have kids and like go through that too? Or
no, I was married, but I wasn't like, kids were never like on my, marriage was never on my brain. Like I wasn't like that type of person that was like, one day I'm going to be married. Like I was just like, I don't know. Like if it just happens, if universe, it happens, it happens. Yeah. And same thing with kids. I was like, okay, I'm not ready yet, but like one day maybe, who knows? But me and my husband were always on the same page about it. So I just never really was concerned with that. It was just more like I just got to a point where I just felt like I was doing a lot. And I was just like, okay, I want to do awesome things, but I am a creative person, and that's really where this is all coming from, is like, why do I like to do all these things? Well, I love to be creative. Mm-hmm. And so that at that point, I also remember saying to my husband, like when I was just acting and not doing other things, like that I felt like I was wasting like what God gave me, which was being creative, because I was just waiting on my next job. And so
because someone else is giving you the creative direction. Is that?
Well, it was just like, I felt like with acting, it's like different like than a musician. You know, my husband can pick up a guitar and feel fulfilled, you know, and write music. Mm-hmm. You can't act unless you're on a job. Mm-hmm. So unless, unlike acting classes, which I was always in. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like, oh my God, like I need to be creative in some other outlet, you know? And that's really what was kind of on my mind.
So was there like an immediate next step to that thought and that, you know, to that time in your life?
I had a makeup line, a brand deal that I had a partnership with. And it was a D2C line and I was really into it and I had big ideas. So I was like, okay, this is where I transitioned to CEO. And I was like, I am so excited for this. And so I ended up buying the trademark, getting an investment and going out on my journey. And I failed miserably. And it was the hardest thing I'd ever done. I was thrown into the world of obviously like doing so many different decks. It was insane. I think I did 25 decks, you know, and then you're like meeting with this other person who tells you about this other person who's like then going to help you do your business like plan. And it's like,
who were the decks for? Like finding business partners and people?
It was finding like a bigger investment for it. And to find my team, because it was just me by myself. So I was trying to find like a team.
This is pre like, you know, like a lot of these celebrity brands coming out, or is like around the time?
I think it probably was around the time some of them were out, but like it was just like maybe I think 7 years ago. So yeah, there was definitely lines out there. I think for me, it was just different by being like, I'm going to buy my trademark and do this on my own. Like, I don't know if anybody would have done that, but I definitely did.
What was the hardest part of it all besides the decks? And
the hardest part was I would have to say this. There's red flags from the start. I should never have done it. the hardest part was realizing I shouldn't have done it.
Right.
And the stress of it all, I was having so much anxiety. I was so depressed. The hardest part was finding your team. I felt like I was on my own. I was literally had been thrown into business school that year.
Yeah.
I was the one like on Shopify putting in my discount codes while I was like on a Netflix show. I also like then booked a Netflix series and I'm like in hair and makeup stressing about discount codes. And I'm like, what is happening? And then I ended up going to a CBS show and I was just like, this is like, I spent a year trying and I just kept on hitting the wall.
But why do you think you shouldn't have done it? Like,
I think it was just like, I always said to people, it's either going to be like the biggest success or the biggest learning lesson. And it was the biggest learning lesson. And I'm glad I did do it now.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was so stressed. I was having all of these like mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting MRIs. I was meeting with like practitioners. I'm like, something's wrong with me. And they're like, no, this is just anxiety. I'm like, I've had a healthy anxiety my whole life. I'm like, I don't think so. And they're like, it definitely is anxiety.
Do you know what the source of that anxiety was? Like, was it
the stress and the pressure?
But you talk about like wanting to do something creative and have this outlet. Was it like, if I don't find that, like, what is my life?
Well, I had to pay back my investor.
Okay.
And I also, and so I never had borrowed money in my life, even though it was an investment. Yeah. I was like, I've been making money since I was three. Like, I've never done that side of like the business before. So that had a lot of pressure to it. But it was also like, this is the first time I'm doing something. What if I fail? You know, like that type of like just doing something different from something I've always known, which is acting. So yeah, it was just like a bunch of those feelings being like, oh my gosh, like, what do I do? And I finally got to the point where I was like, it's time to shut this down. And I remember posting and being like, it is what it is. Like, I was having insomnia, you guys. Yeah, I was up in the middle of the night Googling what celebrities have failed. And I was like, it was weighing
on me.
Which
club am I joining tomorrow?
I was literally like, what celebrities have failed at something?
I'm sure there are many.
Probably a lot more than have succeeded.
Let me tell you, my results, there were definitely a lot. Okay. So let me tell you, there are always failures with everything. It's what I learned. But yeah, it was kind of like an amazing and horrible experience at the same time. But it led me to, because I was having such really bad mental health stuff, I'd met with all of these different people. And I had done, at that point, I was like, I've got a face. I have like some sort of anxiety and depression. And so I had done a book called Attacking Anxiety and Depression by Lucinda Bassett and gotten through all of those things. And so I felt really good. And I also was writing an album called Symptoms. I went back to music just to try it because I was like, maybe I can like write about the stuff I'm going through, which was just really therapeutic for me. And at the time I had lost someone to depression. There was someone else that had passed away to depression. And I was like, no one's talking about this stuff. And like, I think it's scary, but I should probably talk about it. And so I had come out and talked about like how obviously I suffered from it.
Like on social media.
On social media. And I had released my album Symptoms, which was each song is about a symptom I experienced. And because I just felt like I was like, okay, if I could just make one person feel less alone at home, that's all that matters. And we have to start talking about this because everyone was down to be like, I suffer from anxiety, but like no one wants to say I suffer from depression, but they go hand in hand, to be honest.
I feel like hard to pinpoint what it is. Like, is it depression? Is it anxiety? Like, because there's like, you know, there's like deep depression. There's like, I think like stages of it too. You could have
definitely different
mild
stages,
depression,
yeah.
Or you could have deep like clinical depression. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. Like, did you actually get diagnosed with anything, or it was just like, you were just in, you felt it in yourself?
I was for sure diagnosed with anxiety.
Yeah.
And I definitely, what I learned through that book was that anxiety and depression go hand in hand. You can't have one and not the other. So I tend to see if I'm like, I'm just someone who like when I was depressed, I'm not like someone who like lays in bed. Like I'm someone who just like powers through and then realize my anxiety is actually really high in those moments is when I'm feeling that way. So yeah, I think that I've never been put on medication or anything.
Yeah.
But it's just because I've done the work. Like I'm always down to do the work. And I love reading books and those are super helpful besides therapy. But yeah, I think that for me, it was just something I really wanted to share with people and share my experience. And it was at the time no one was talking about it.
Yeah. And I feel like those things can be like episodic too. Like, you know, it comes and goes and
yeah.
Not to like distract yourself, but there are things that you can do to like just get your mind off of it and maybe just kind of go back to, you know, a normal state. And then, you know, it comes and goes. But like for you, besides reading, like were there other things that you did in those moments that helped?
I think that like, well, obviously therapy helped, but I think reading the books were actually the most helpful. Like Attacking Anxiety and Depression was the best thing I've done that multiple times, that book. Cause it's like old school.
Yeah.
And it comes with like DVDs and it's like super old school, but they're like groups that they're talking about their experiences and you feel less alone yourself. And you're like, oh my gosh, okay. People have gotten through this. And, cause I didn't even know like the symptoms I was having were all anxiety. Mm. Like I thought I was like, and then when you hear these group sessions, you're like, oh my God, they experienced that too. What? Like it feels like less like scary. But I think that that for sure helped me. I think for me, knowing that knowing it was like when it came up was around the time I had taken over the company. So I realized, okay, when something's really stressful and there's a lot of pressure, it tends to bring this out of me. And so that was like a part of it. That's when I was like, okay, I need to shut this down because it's just like not worth that much anymore. You
it's
know,
almost it's like you're reverse engineering the feeling of like, what is the source of, like, what is the initial source of this?
Yeah.
Let me get to that and then figure out how to deal with it.
Exactly. And I think it was just, obviously it's hard to acknowledge that I suffered from depression. It's like something that's like very dark and there's like stigma around it. But I think that when I was learning about myself, I was like, wow, what a beautiful thing. Like I'm not so surface. It's like, who wants to be surface level? Like that those things are, I think, what make you beautiful and what make you you. And I think we're all human. And so I had really gotten to know myself for the first time. And I always encourage people whenever they reach out to me, like friends, and being like, how do you get over this? And what do I do? I'm always like, do the work. People think there's going to be a fast fix on, and I'm like, well, how long have you suffered from anxiety? Usually a long time. So it's going to take a while to like get through it. But when you do, you're like, oh my God, you learn so much about yourself. And it's like, we should.
It's a great feeling because I think at some, if you start feeling it again, you know, like it comes and goes, then you kind of know like, okay, I know.
Yeah, you have like the tools to do it.
So as someone who always wants to have this like creative outlet after, you know, you shut the company down and you mentioned making another album, what were your plans on where you felt like you would go from there?
From there, after I did the album, I was on two TV shows. I had done a Netflix show and a CBS show. And my creative idea was that I got this idea and it took years to get here, but I hike a lot. And when I hike, I'm thinking about these ideas and I'm talking to my husband about them. And I wanted to create a space where I could talk about my experiences thus far and in mental health, in wellness, in plastic surgery, stuff that I'd gone through. And so I was like, you know, I really want to create something like that, a blog. And I remember being on set of the CBS show I was on and trying to come up with names and going to GoDaddy and being like, oh, they're all taken.
Yeah.
So I was like, what is this going to be called? And so what I loved about it was I was not selling anything. I was like, I literally am just doing this to connect with people. Like that I loved. It was, there was no pressure.
Yeah.
It was really just sharing everything.
There's no product or anything. It was just
no product. It was just like, yeah, I am just going to share what I've been through. I'd also like explanted implants. And so I wanted to talk about that and stuff. And so, and just help people. Like, I had gone through a journey with my mental health, and that really led me to more of a cleaner lifestyle. So I wanted to share like more affordable things that you could get. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned you had started posting on social media. Had you seen people really like react and
when symptoms came out, I had like a flood of DMs from people sharing their experiences and what they've gone through. And it was really amazing to connect to people like that. And I just felt like, wow, people are being vulnerable with me too. Like, I was scared of what the reaction would be, mm-hmm, you know, because you're like, oh, I hope not letting people down. Like, yeah, this character they know me as, and I'm going to be like, hey, I suffer from anxiety and depression, you know. Yeah. It's like, but there was never a bad, you know, reaction. It was always just very like welcoming and warm. Mm-hmm. And I felt like people were reaching out to me too. And so I felt like I was doing something meaningful, yeah, and helpful. And so that's really where Frenchie came in, where I was, you know, wanting to create this blog to where I could just even go further with that.
Right.
And I came up with the name Frenchie because I was on vacation and my married name is French. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, French. And my husband's known as French to his friends. And I was like, Frenchie. And I was like, Frenchie is kind of cool. And it was the only thing that wasn't taken on GoDaddy. So I was like, there we go.
$9.99. Here we go.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
So that's really where that started. And it was like pretty amazing. I think, like I said, it took me a while, because when you're really that vulnerable and you're opening up about stuff you've been through and experiences, you have to feel like ready for any type of reaction. And so it took me a while, but yeah, it was kind of always ruminating in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
And then it kind of like came to fruition.
So now you have this platform, you have this way of engaging with your audience, and you have a brand, a name, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Did you feel like, okay, now is the right time to venture back into like making products and
No, products were never on my mind. Cause never. I was like, I'll never do this again.
Yeah.
After
yeah,
the makeup line. This is where I always tell people a story, because when I shut down the company, before I shut it down, I'd reached out to a different company that I knew did brands. And I was like, hey, I was trying to do this on my own, but, and I know you're like, you do work with one of my friends, and she gave me her number, but would you want to take this over with me? And they were like, you know, we do our own brands. We create our own brands, but thank you so much for calling us, and we're huge fans of yours. And I was like, okay. So I was like, that was kind of like the last call. And then I was like, okay, I need to shut this down. And I shut it down. And I always will remember being on like just in my house and hysterically crying, being like, I failed for the first time in my life. Like, I have a personal failure and I've failed. And what's so interesting and so important to remember is that people do fail in life, and it always leads you to your next thing. And it's really about how you get yourself back up. And for me, I didn't know Frenchie, which was great. It's just wild that it is the experience of what I experienced during that, trying to run that company and mm-hmm, trying to do that, that created this kind of more authentic site for me to like talk about my experiences and talk about wellness, that company emailed me after they saw Frenchie for like after it was out for a while. And they said, hey, remember us? We love what you're doing with Frenchie, and we'd love to sit down and talk to you about doing your own line. Mm. And I was like,
I don't know who you guys are.
I was like, yeah, I was like, I don't know. I was like, interesting. But I still was like very scared, obviously. Mm. And I was just like, you know what, I don't want to do products anymore. I promised myself. And they were like, no, we'll be your partner. You have a team behind you. It's not just you. This is what we're going to do. Like, and my dream always too is like to have the makeup line in Target. That was like on every single deck of mine, because I wanted it to be affordable. I've always been someone who's like, I want my like fans to be able to purchase. Yeah. And like, I think that especially in wellness, like we were being taught that it's expensive, and I don't think that's true. And you just need to have the products to do that. Yeah. So
like good products with good ingredients.
Good products, good and affordable pricing. You know, there's plenty of them out there. And that's what Frenchie was doing, was like trying to show like house cleaning products that are like, you know, the best pricing and stuff. And so basically I had met with them and we sat down and we talked about like what Frenchie was and where, you know, I could see it going. And we talked about different, like, you know, doing a body care line. And at the time I had created a lot of rituals for myself because we were all home. It was COVID. Mm-hmm. And so obviously someone who has anxiety, I was like, I'm never one to be alone and or not be alone, but never one to be home mm-hmm. and be okay with it. Like I can be alone. I love being alone. But I did have to create these kind of like grounding rituals, which was like, instead of outsourcing for a massage, you know, because you're like scared of COVID, you're like, okay, I'm going to do a spa bath and make myself feel good there. And so I had all these different tools and I started talking about them with the partners. And that's kind of where the body care came up, the body care line. And I was like, ooh, that's kind of cool and different. Like I never would have thought of that. And so I felt very good and safe knowing that I was not going to be by myself this time. And I still had so much fear before we launched, even though I had developed it for like 2 years. The development part was always the easiest, you know, because you're like there and there's no pressure and you're just like doing it.
Was the idea though that like you would kind of come up with these ideas for these products and then they would help figure out how to get it out to the market? Or were they coming to you with all this like data and research of like, well, this is what's in the stores right now. This is what's doing well. This is what's missing. Like,
yeah,
we should
have a lot of data, but they also have like, you know, it's a true partnership, you know, like everything is talked about. And I think like the data they were talking about was they had this science, like mood science technology. Yep. And it's a scent technology that helps you feel a certain way. It provokes a certain mood. And so I loved that because I've been a candle obsessed person. And I know for me that scent, I can smell something and it'll bring me back to my childhood.
Oh, totally.
Or I can smell a candle and be like, oh my God, I remember that moment in my life.
Yep.
And so I loved that idea and then mixed with body care. And to me, I was like, oh, it's so great because usually I have to grab for something extra, like an aroma, you know, eucalyptus thing to make me feel better, or like, you know, more obviously grounded. But you would no longer have to do that. It's built into your products, which I liked. So basically, like they had their side of the business that they came with, and I had my side of the business, which was all the creative. Mm-hmm. And they knew I wanted to be in Target. And so that's who we pitched first. And we got in at Target.
Yeah.
And so it was such a better, I would say, the experience. When people say like, how do you know if something's going to be successful? It's such a different flow, like compared to the last time where I had all these red flags, this just like flowed seamlessly. It was like, there were no hitting the wall. Like, obviously it's tough. Mm-hmm. Business is hard. There's going to be ups and downs. I'm going to cry sometimes if I'm like, you know, having a hard day, but there should be a flow there. And I think that is what I was holding on to. And I remember before we launched, I had a breakdown and I was like not sleeping. And I turned to my husband. I said, I don't know why I decided to do this. I'm not good at this side of the business. Like, what am I thinking? You know? And he was like, well, why do you feel that way? And I'm like, because like, you could tell it was like so much fear coming up before this launch. And he was just like, well, like, let's just talk about it. And I think I just had this moment where I realized for years I was like on a treadmill trying to really make a name for myself outside of High School Musical. Mm-hmm. I always wanted like, oh, is this the project that's going to change people? And when they come up to me, they don't just say, I love High School Musical. Is this going to be this project? Is this going to be this TV show? Is this going to be this TV show? And I realized that in that moment, I was like, wait, I'm like, I think the fear is like, yeah, it's like, I feel like I'm trying to recreate something that would never be recreated. And I was like, realized that. And I was like, oh my God, why would I even try to recreate the success of High School Musical? Why would I even want to? And I have an amazing life and I had just had a baby and I was like, this is so great. Like, I'm okay. I'm okay if people never come up to me and say something else besides High School Musical. Like, I am okay. And I think it was like letting go in that moment that changed everything for me, because I finally let go. I finally wasn't trying so hard. And I remember going to Target and like I get emotional, but I remember going to Target and seeing the line and I was like, I did it.
Yeah.
You know, like it's.
You saw a line of people?
No, I saw the line of being Frenchy. I just saw the products. I was just like, I did it.
The
like
people did not,
you know,
matter.
The people didn't matter. Yeah. I was just like, oh my God. Here I thought I could do this like makeup line and get into Target and like completely fail.
Yeah.
And think I would never have that moment again or opportunity again. So to me, seeing the line fully there in Target, I was like, I fucking did it. Yeah. Like I did
made
it
real. Like,
and it
here.
Didn't matter if people bought it to me. Like I was like, I don't care what it does. Like this is a success. The fact that I failed and got up and did it again, this is already successful to me.
Yeah. Everything else is a cherry on top.
Everything else is a cherry on top. And it's been the most successful thing I've ever done personally. And
yeah,
like it has changed. Who would have thought that I now have people that come up to me, like if I'm hiking or like at a coffee shop, and they're like, oh my God, I love your Soothing Body Serum stick. Or, oh my God, I just bought Being Frenchy. And I was like, holy shit, like this changed. Who would have thought that this would be that?
Once you let go and ended up doing that without you having to forcefully do it, it just happened that way.
It just happened that way. And it's just like, so even when we think we're like, this is going to change people's opinion, like, I would never have thought like a body care line would change people's opinion and like, or just change what they think of and like see me. And like, it is, I have my daughter's teacher being like, oh my God, can I please get some more Being Friend? It's like wild. It's
yes,
like,
for an A.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, for sure.
I'll trade you.
She's in preschool. So it's like,
give her more stickers.
Yes. But it's just like a really cool thing to just be like, dang, like, that's why you can never give up. You can't, because if you do, you'll never get to where you're meant to go. Yeah. And that's what I always try to tell people is like, you just can't give up. And some of the biggest, most successful people have had many failures, many. So
like you said, learning experience, and it's like one step closer to getting to that place. And
yeah.
So what is like the long-term vision? Like, do you want to continue just like adding different product lines and whatever you feel like is what you want to put out there? And
Yeah, I mean, like, the obviously right now we're developing new forms, and so we'll have new forms coming out. We also are developing new scents. We just launched Palo Santo, which was our first scent since we launched the line. So now we have 6 mood boosting scents. And then my idea is to obviously expand into different categories. I can't share much, but there's definitely opportunities there. So yeah, I mean, for me, I always try to take it day by day with like running this company. It takes up my whole life basically besides being a mom. But I love it. I think that leading up to obviously launching, I was like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. Yeah. And like, I don't know if this is the right decisions on these scents. Like, and even like Cashmere Vanilla, which is one of our scents, it's based off of my Trader Joe's jasmine rice and how it made my kitchen smell.
Wow,
and it's
awesome.
The top selling scent. And so like to
they
see.
You gotta sell that at Trader Joe's.
I know, right?
Collabs.
We should package it together. But to see those things like be so successful, you start to get validated and you're like, oh, I do know what I'm talking about. Like, I know my intuition led me here, but like you feel a lot stronger and you feel a lot more confident in your choices and what you're, you know, the choices you're making. Cause obviously my partner is always like down to like talk things out, but it really is my, you know, it's me at the end of the day. So it just feels really awesome. And, you know, like I came out of the pandemic. I always say this too. It's like I went into the pandemic as an actress and I came out with a baby and running a company, a brand. And it's like, of course, I went through postpartum depression. So I was always like, who am I? You know, like I just went through a life change and it's like, you're not even doing the same thing anymore.
Yep.
And at first it was kind of like, I felt like I wasn't doing enough because I wasn't acting. And then I was like, I'm doing enough. Like I'm doing enough. This is a lot. This is hard work. And, you know, maybe one day when it's not, you know, to me, it's still a baby. It's a year and a half old, you know, maybe one day when it's like a couple years old and I'm like, okay, I have the time to act again, you know, maybe I will. But I actually really love what I do.
Would you say that this has been like the most fulfilling thing you've worked on? Because like with acting, you can maybe like feel a little bit. You see, you get the numbers of like how many people tuned in or all that stuff. You're like, okay, it made some impact and like people, you know.
Yeah.
But like with a product, you see the tangible, like you see them getting, holding it and using it and being better off by it. And I can imagine that has a big impact on you.
Definitely. It's the most fulfilling because when people at like, when I put on events for Being Frenchy, the events are really centered around experience because I wanted people to feel a certain way. That's what the whole line is about. And I felt like I've been to so many events where it's like the logos are everywhere and it just is like, I don't know. You go to so many events and you're just like, okay, cool. You know, like it's great. And I love to support people and everything, but it's just like, I wanted to be different and I wanted to carry the wellness into those events. And so we literally connect on a deeper level at our events. Like we like have, we did a glamping where we went to like cabins and like had like a whole overnight stay. And we were all around the fire pit and discussing, and some influencers were talking about like how they suffer from bipolar and like just tons of people talking about like their mental health. And it was so beautiful. And it was just such an amazing like experience. People walk away from these events being like, whoa, that was like life changing. And like, I felt really connected to these people that you're there with. And to me, I think that is why I do this. You know, it's like, it's not just for products. It's not just to sell products. It's the, like, I feel like I'm doing something meaningful in my life and helping others feel good about themselves. And I think that is the most important thing to me.
That's amazing. Well, this has been such a fun conversation. Just like hearing like where you started and where you are now and all this like roller coaster of a journey you've been on and, you know, all these amazing parts of your life and career. And we appreciate you sharing that and being so candid with us. And it's been a fun conversation.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been great.